The following is a free-for-download audiobook available on Google Drive. The Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 14, Devotional Qualifications. Some scholars recommend that knowledge and renunciation are important factors for elevating oneself to devotional service. But actually, that is not a fact. Actually, the cultivation of knowledge or renunciation, which are favorable for achieving a footing in Krishna consciousness, may be accepted in the beginning, but ultimately they may also come to be rejected, for devotional service is dependent on nothing other than the sentiment or desire for such service. It requires nothing more than sincerity. It is the opinion of expert devotees that mental speculation and the artificial austerities of yoga practice may be favorable for becoming liberated from material contamination, but they may also make one's heart harder and harder. They will not help at all in the progress of devotional service. These processes are therefore not favorable for entering into the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Actually, Krishna consciousness, devotional service itself, is the only way of advancing in devotional life. Devotional service is absolute. It is both the cause and the effect. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause and effect of all that be, and to approach Him, the Absolute, the process of devotional service, which is also absolute, has to be adopted. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita by the Lord Himself, quote, "One can understand me only through devotional service," end quote. In his beginning, his teachings of the Gita, the Lord said to Arjuna, quote, "Because you are my devotee, I shall teach these secrets to you," end quote. Vedic knowledge means ultimately to understand the Supreme Lord, and the process of entering into His kingdom is devotional service. That is accepted by all authentic scriptures. Mental speculators neglect the process of devotional service, and simply by trying to defeat others in philosophical research, they fail to develop the ecstasy of devotion. In the 11th canto, 20th chapter, verse 31 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna says, quote, "My dear Uddhava, for persons who are seriously engaged in my service, the cultivation of philosophical speculation and artificial renunciation are not very favorable. When a person becomes my devotee, he automatically attains the fruits of the renunciation of material enjoyment, and he gets sufficient knowledge to understand the absolute truth," end quote. That is the test of advancement in devotional service. A devotee cannot be in darkness, because the Lord shows him special favor and enlightens him from within. In the 11th canto, 20th chapter, verses 32 and 33 of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord further instructs Uddhava, quote, "My dear friend, the profits derived from fruitive activities, austerities, the culture of philosophical knowledge, renunciation, the practice of mystic yoga, charity, and all similar auspicious activities are automatically achieved by my devotees, those who are simply attached to me by loving service. These devotees have everything at their disposal, but they desire nothing outside of my devotional service. If ever a devotee should desire some material profit, like promotion to the heavenly planets, or some spiritual profit to go to the Vaikunthas, by my causeless mercy, his desires are very easily fulfilled," end quote. Actually, a person who is developing Krishna consciousness and still has some attachment to material enjoyment will soon be freed from such a tendency by regularly discharging devotional service under the instruction of a bona fide spiritual master. Srila Rupa Goswami, then, recommends that one should not be attached to material sense enjoyment, but should accept everything enjoyable that is in relationship to Krishna. For example, eating is necessary, and one wants some palatable dishes to satisfy his sense of taste. So in that case, for the satisfaction of Krishna, rather than for the satisfaction of the tongue, some palatable dishes may be prepared and offered to Krishna. Then it is renunciation. Let the palatable dishes be prepared, but unless they are offered to Krishna, one should not accept them for eating. This vow of rejecting anything that is not offered to Krishna is actually renunciation, and by such renunciation, one is able to satisfy the demands of the senses. The impersonalists who try to avoid everything material may undergo severe austerities, but they miss the opportunity to be engaged in the service of the Lord. Thus, their enunciation is not sufficient for perfection. There are many instances where, following such artificial renunciation without any contact with devotional service, the impersonalists again fall down and become attracted to material contamination. There are many supposed renouncers, even at the present moment, who officially become sannyasis or renouncers and outwardly claim that spiritual existence is truth and material existence untruth. In this way, they artificially make a show of renunciation of the material world. However, because they cannot reach the point of devotional service, they fail to achieve the goal, and they again come down to material activities, such as philanthropic work and political agitation. There are many examples of so-called sannyasis who gave up the world as untruth, but again came to the material world because they were not seeking their real repose at the lotus feet of the Lord. One should not give up anything that can be utilized in the service of the Lord. That is a secret of devotional service. Anything can be utilized in advancing Krishna consciousness, and devotional service should be accepted. For instance, we are using many machines for the advancement of our present Krishna consciousness movement. Machines like typewriters, dictating machines, tape recorders, microphones, and airplanes. Sometimes people ask us, quote, why are you utilizing material products if you condemn the advancement of material civilization, end quote. But actually, we do not condemn. We simply ask people to do whatever they are doing in Krishna consciousness. This is the same principle on which, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna advised Arjuna to utilize his fighting abilities in devotional service. Similarly, we are using these machines for Krishna's service. With such sentiment for Krishna or Krishna consciousness, we can accept everything. If the typewriter can be utilized for advancing our Krishna consciousness movement, we must accept it. Similarly, the dictating machine or any other machine must be used. Our vision is that Krishna is everything. Krishna is the cause and effect, and nothing belongs to us. Krishna's things must be used in the service of Krishna. That is our vision. This does not mean, however, that we should give up the principles of discharging devotional service or neglect abiding by the rules and regulations prescribed therein. In the neophyte stage of devotion, one must follow all the principles regulated by the authority of the spiritual master. The acceptance and rejection of things should always be in pursuance of the devotional principles. Not that one can independently manufacture some idea of what should be accepted or rejected. The spiritual master, as the visible manifestation of Krishna, is necessary, therefore, to direct the devotee on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The spiritual master must never be carried away by an accumulation of wealth or a large number of followers. A bona fide spiritual master will never become like that. But sometimes, if his spiritual master is not properly authorized and only on his own initiative becomes a spiritual master, he may be carried away by an accumulation of wealth and large numbers of disciples. His is not a very high grade of devotional service. If a person is carried away by such achievements, then his devotional service becomes slackened. One should therefore strictly adhere to the principles of disciplic succession. A Krishna-conscious person, being naturally purified, has no need of developing any other purificatory process of thought or action. On account of his being highly elevated in Krishna consciousness, he has already acquired all the good qualities and is following the rules and regulations prescribed for the mystic yoga process. Such rules are automatically practiced by the devotees. A concrete example is the quality of nonviolence, which is considered a good qualification. A devotee is naturally nonviolent and therefore does not have to practice nonviolence separately. Some people seek purification by joining a vegetarian movement, but a devotee is automatically a vegetarian. He does not need to practice separately in this matter or to join any society of vegetarians. He is automatically a vegetarian. There are many other instances showing that a devotee needn't practice anything but Krishna consciousness. All the good qualities of demigods automatically develop within him. Those who are intentionally practicing to be vegetarians or to become nonviolent may have good qualifications by a material estimation, but these qualifications are not sufficient to make them devotees. A vegetarian is not necessarily a devotee, nor is a nonviolent person, but a devotee is automatically both vegetarian and nonviolent. We must conclude, therefore, that vegetarianism or nonviolence is not the cause of devotion. In this connection, there is a story in the Skanda Purana about a hunter who was converted into a great devotee under the instruction of Narada Muni. When the hunter became a perfect devotee, he was not prepared to kill even an ant. Parvat Muni, a friend of Narada's, saw the wonderful transformation of the hunter by devotional service and remarked, quote, "My dear hunter, your unwillingness to kill even an ant is not very astonishing. Any person who develops the devotional attitude has all the good qualities automatically manifested in his person. A devotee is never a cause of distress to anyone." End quote. Srila Rupa Goswami affirms herein that purification of consciousness, purification of bodily activities, austerities, peace of mind, etc., all become automatically manifest in the person who is engaged in devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami affirms herein that there are 9 different kinds of devotional service, which are listed as hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, worshipping the deity in the temple, praying, carrying out orders, serving Krishna as a friend, and sacrificing everything for him. Each and every one of these processes are so powerful that if anyone follows even a single one of them, he can achieve the desired perfection without fail. For example, if one is simply attached to hearing about the Lord and another is attached to chanting the glories of the name, both will achieve their desired goal in devotional service. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this has been explained. One may execute 1, 2, 3, or all the different processes of devotional service, and at the ultimate end, he will achieve the desired goal of being established in devotional service. There are concrete examples of how a devotee discharged one of these services and achieved perfection. King Parikshit achieved the desired goal of life simply by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Shukadev Goswami achieved the desired goal of life by reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. Prahlad Maharaj became successful in his devotional service by always remembering the Lord. Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, was successful by engaging herself in massaging the lotus feet of the Lord. King Prithu became successful by worshiping in the temple. Akura became successful by offering prayers. Hanuman became successful by rendering personal service to Lord Ramchandra. Arjuna became successful by being a friend of Krishna. And Bali Maharaj became successful simply by offering all of his possessions to Krishna. There are also examples of devotees who discharge all the different items together. In the 9th canto, 4th chapter, verses 18, 19, and 20 of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a statement about Maharaj Ambarish, who followed every one of the devotional processes. In these verses, Shukadev Goswami says, quote, "Maharaj Ambarish, first of all, concentrated his mind on the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, and then engaged his speech in describing the pastimes and activities of the Lord. He engaged his hands in washing the temple of the Lord. He engaged his ears in hearing of the transcendental glories of the Lord. He engaged his eyes in seeing the beautiful deity in the temple. He engaged his body in associating with the pure devotees of the Lord. When you associate with someone, you have to sit down together, eat together, etc., and this way the touch of your body with his body is inevitable. Ambarish Maharaj made his association only with pure devotees and did not allow his body to be touched by anyone else. He engaged his nostrils in smelling the flowers and tulsi offered to Krishna, and he engaged his tongue in tasting Krishna Prasad, food prepared specifically for offering to the Lord, the remnants of which are taken by the devotees. Maharaj Ambarish was able to offer very nice prasadam to Krishna because he was a king and had no scarcity of finances. He used to offer Krishna the most royal dishes and would then taste the remnants as Krishna prasad. There was no scarcity in his royal style because he had a very beautiful temple wherein the deity of the Lord was decorated with costly paraphernalia and offered high-grade food. So, everything was available, and his engagement was always completely in Krishna consciousness." End quote. The idea is that we should try to follow in the footsteps of great devotees. If we're unable to execute all the different items of devotional service, we must try to execute at least one of them, as exemplified by previous acharyas. If we're engaged in the execution of all of the items of devotional service, as Maharaj Ambarish, then the perfection of devotional service is guaranteed from each one of these items. With the first complete engagement, one becomes automatically detached from material contamination, and liberation becomes the maidservant of the devotee. This idea is confirmed by Bill Mangala Thakur. If one develops unalloyed devotion to the Lord, liberation will follow the devotee as his maidservant. Srila Rupa Goswami says that the regulative principles of devotional service are sometimes described by authorities as serving as the path of serving the Lord in opulence.